If we could stand, please, and turn in our Bibles to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verses 36 through 44. We'll read responsively again. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. His disciples came in unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all the things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun, and in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field. Then the which man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof he goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Let's read again. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field. Then which a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you're coming again. Lord, that your word said you are, and that you're going to return. And Father, we as a church wait anxiously for you. We pray, Lord Jesus, that at that time we be found faithful doing your will. Oh, Lord, help us to reach those that are lost. Lord, as we know that time is imminent of your return. But Heavenly Father, our soul and our spirit cries out, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be those that promote growth and don't stand in the way of others' growth, Lord, but that will do your will till you return. Be with our preacher tonight. Help him, Lord Jesus. Fill him with your spirit, Lord, and help him as he brings us the word of God, and help our hearts to be ready to receive the message and respond to conviction of the spirit. And we make decisions to glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to be very practical tonight. My text verse, of course, here's a series of parables that Jesus had taught here, but there's one I'm going to zoom right in on tonight in verse 44. I'm going to get right going. I have a lot I want to cover in a short amount of time. I'm going to try to cover it all if I can. And I'll just read the text verse again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, that which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. I'm going to speak to you tonight on the subject, a treasure in the field. Again, this is going to be very practical. I'm going to zoom right in on that verse, probably hit it about every single direction tonight. I want your attention. More than anything, I want to help you. I'm not looking to preach a great sermon tonight, but I do want to be a help to my people, and I think I can. I really do believe I can if I can have everybody looking this way and your full attention tonight. I've got to put a finger on what I think can help all relationships this evening. I'm talking about your marriage, talking about broken relationships or your friendships. I'm talking about maybe some strained relationships. This message, I think, will also give you the main cause of why divorce is so rampant today and why it's so easy to attain. I think this message will give main cause for church problems and church splits and other problems that we may struggle with concerning our relationships. Every way you look, of course, there are people, and many people have different personalities. Thank God for that. Amen. Many people have a different outlook on life. People will have a different outlook on situations. And God made everybody unique, and we ought to thank God for that. You know, you probably, and some of you, you don't say amen to this, you probably wouldn't want everybody to have the personality of a preacher. Okay. All right. Thank you for not saying amen. But the truth of the matter is, everybody is different.
Oftentimes, because of unique personalities, people clash. People kind of fight, if you will, to some degree, result in disagreement, and sometimes bitterness between one another. And I wonder, maybe there's someone here like that tonight. You thinking of someone, maybe that was close to you, and maybe it was a relationship, maybe it was a close friend, maybe it's a relative, or what have you, and something happened, and it was a clash of personality, and you lost a good relationship, you lost a good friendship. Maybe because of looking at a situation differently than they did, and a little bit of disagreement, maybe the attitude of, I'm right, they were wrong, crept in. And that good friendship, maybe a marriage, and some other relationship became broken. You ask, preacher, where are you going? I'm glad to ask, and we're going to get right into it again tonight. Verse number 44, just kind of keep looking at that verse throughout the night, and I think you'll see where I'm going. Here's a treasure. The Bible says it's found in a field. I have worked, of course, in many fields. I'm not talking about careers. I'm talking about potato fields, hay fields, corn fields. I've worked in many, many fields. And, you know, for a field to become productive, there are many rocks that need to be pulled out of that field. There are many weeds that have to be pulled out of that field. And to produce a good crop, you've got to go ahead and pull them rocks and weeds out. Many, many a time when we'd get ready to go ahead and harrow, okay, we'd go ahead and harrow a field every year to plant corn. For some reason, it seems like every year there's more and more rocks that come. I don't understand it. You just picked the rocks out last year. You should never have to go ahead and pick the rocks out again. But you know what? Every year, we'd harrow, get ready to plant corn, and we'd go down row by row with a bucket loader tractor and a couple guys, my brothers and I, we'd stand in front. My dad always got to ride the tractor. I don't understand that. Okay? But he'd just put it in low gear and just kind of roll it along, and we'd have to pick up all the rocks, if you will, that we harrowed. And of course, if we didn't do that, our corn crop would be lousy. Okay? And if you want to look at it that way, because of that, there was a treasure in the field, okay? If you want to look at that, and that's where we're going here. Here we find in this text verse, a man searches for treasure. He finds the treasure and then says that I have found it in that field, in some field somewhere. So what does he do? What does he do, rather? The Bible says that he sells all that he has and he goes and buys that field. Now that he buys the field, he's looking for more treasure in that field. He finds treasure, and he's looking for more treasure. So what's he do? He goes ahead. The Bible says he goes ahead and he sells all that he has so they can go ahead and buy that field, expecting that he'll get richer, if you will, expecting to go ahead and get more. And as he searches and he digs and he searches and digs, there are some things that he didn't quite expect. He suddenly finds out a few things, some things that the previous landowner did not go ahead and tell him. He finds out that field that was sold, that he sold all for and bought, he also bought along with that field some weeds. He also bought some rocks that were laying in that field. You know, he also bought some alders and some spiders. Also in that field that he sold all for and that he wanted to go ahead and buy, no doubt there were some ants crawling around that field. There were some mice scurrying around, maybe a few rats, maybe some woodchucks, maybe a skunk or a raccoon or two. Now, bear in mind that there is treasure somewhere down in that field. Now, listen to me. I want to help you. Somewhere down in that field, he saw the treasure. He knows there's treasure there, but he did not realize that there'd be some creepy crawly critters in that field as well. He did not realize that he might find some trash scattered in the field. He did not realize that there was some snakes perhaps crawling around. He did not realize that some lizards may be crawling around. Maybe some poison ivy would be found, a dead tree or a sapling. A few saplings had taken root in that field. He sold all he had. Mind you now, he sold all he had because he saw some treasure, and he wanted more treasure, if you will, in that field, and he sacrificed everything to buy this field. He had found some treasure there. That's why he wanted it. So follow me again. Again, please stay with me. I have a sense of urgency here, and I know I'm going to talk quick because I have a lot I want to say tonight, so please look right up here and help me out. Now, suppose that man starts digging. He starts digging to seek for the treasure. And unbeknownst to him, that lizard scampers by. Unbeknownst to him, he discovers some poison ivy. He bought this field. He owns it now. It's his. Unbeknownst to him, he starts sniffing, smells a skunk. He maybe comes across and he sees a pile of trash in the field. He sees maybe a few rats eating from that garbage. He sees a mouse scurry by. What does he do? Does he grow disgusted and get mad and forsake the treasure that is found in the field? Does he go ahead and go back to the previous landowner, say, I want my money back. This field is not what I expected. Does he go ahead and cast the field aside and say it is junk, all because he views the negative of the field? Does he forsake the treasure in that field and go over to another field to look for treasure? This guy, he bought this field. He sees the poison ivy. He sees the trash. He sees the snakes wiggling around. I tell you, about the time I see a snake, I'd be running too. I'm not hanging around, amen? But he sees all the negatives, so what does he do? Does he leave it, forsake it, or does he stick with it? Does he say, this is useless, it's no use. I wasted my money. I'm done with this field. I shouldn't have bought this field in the first place. I shouldn't have gone ahead and taken this on in the first place. And let me say this tonight. I find that same similar scenario in a lot of us here tonight. Follow me. You see, oftentimes we're willing to take what we don't want. Oftentimes we're not willing to take what we don't want to get what we do want. Say it again. Oftentimes we're not willing to take what we don't want. We're not willing to take what we don't want to get what we do want. But the treasure is in that field. We want the treasure real bad, but we don't want to go through all the dead trees or the bugs or the lizards to get there. You will not find the treasure in the museum. It is in the field. Here you will not go ahead and find it in the bank. It is in the field. To get that treasure, you may have to smell the odor of a skunk. You may have to go ahead and get stung by a bee or two. You may have to go ahead and kill a snake, gladly, I should say. You may have to go ahead and kill some poison ivy. You may have to go ahead and stumble over some garbage. Oftentimes, we run from that field simply because all of a sudden, at first, we saw the beauty. We saw the treasure. We found some treasure. There's got to be more there. I'm going to sell everything, and I want that field. But all of a sudden, we see the negatives simply because it's not what we expected. I thought this was going to be a little bit easier. I didn't expect this field to have trash. I didn't expect this field to do this. I didn't expect this field to have rocks. This isn't what I expected. Because we thought it would have been a whole lot easier to get the treasure. Let me give you a few treasures tonight. Number one, and again, this is going to be very practical, but I think I can help you tonight. Number one, we find a friend. What a treasure that is. We become close to that friend. We are in awe of that friend. They're such a good friend. That friend seems to be faultless at first. The friend seems so caring and so interested in you and what you want. That friend is spiritual, perhaps, and prays for you, helps bear your burdens. But after a while, you grow closer to that friend. That new friend, if you will, some weeds pop up. I didn't know this. I can't believe that. You may see a few negatives. You are in shock that your friend is not perfect after all. I can't believe this. So you dwell on the negatives. You become disappointed that your friend's not perfect. Your friend maybe disappointed you. So what do? Forsake or keep that friend? Oftentimes, the result may be that we turn away from that friend, casting away all the memories, casting away the thoughtful words that you shared, casting away maybe the activities that you shared. So you turn it away. You turn away from him. But now, let me just say this. All friends have weeds. All have some negatives. All of us here tonight, we have negatives. But what we do is we become so in awe of someone, they intrigue us, so a friendship begins. And by the way, that's a good thing. We ought to have friends. We ought to be friendly. A man who has friends, the Bible says, must show himself friendly. But it does not matter who you are this evening. As you get closer to that friend, you're going to see some negatives and you're going to see some weeds in his life or her life. You'll find that your friend is not perfect after all. Why? He's human just like you. But what are we going to do? We're looking for that perfect friend, that treasure that's in the field, in a friendship. And you find that mouse scurrying around. You see a little bit of poison ivy, so to speak. So what do we do? How do we respond? We back off from that friend. We get mad at him or her. We get to point out, we get to a point where we won't even speak to them. We'll go ahead and turn from them, causing them, if you will, to scratch your head and wonder, what's going on? Why all of a sudden are you casting me away? You liked him until you found out that he has a field. You liked him, you are so intrigued by that friend until you find out that he's not perfect. Until he has a few flaws, until he has a few weeds or maybe a few negatives. By the way, did it ever occur to you that you have a field too? Did it ever occur to you that you're not perfect too? It did ever occur to you that your friend that you started growing close to, if you will, that friend that you started close to, he may have gone ahead and found that field in you, but what did he do? Did he forsake you? Or did he keep you as a friend? Did it ever occur to you that you're a field? Did it ever occur to you that when he found the field, maybe in your life, he didn't turn on you, he didn't stop hanging with you? So you turn away from that friend. You seek a new one. The same scenario happens, don't it? The same thing. You find out that new one has some weeds after a while. You find out that new one has some struggles. That you find out that new one has a little bit of rocks. You find out that new one may have maybe an unpleasant attitude at times. Maybe not always on top side, whatever the case may be. And you seek for another friend and another. And eventually, by the way, that kind of way of getting friends is going to leave you friendless. You know, after a while, you start building yourself a reputation. You know, man, you know, that guy, that gal's gone through three or four best friends. You know, I don't know if I want to be there, really as close to them, because all they do is look at the negative. All they do is look at the negative and not the positive. They're not looking for the treasure. You know, let me just stop and say this. You know, to go ahead and get the treasure, you're going to have to go look through some negatives. If you're going to get to the treasure, you're going to have to go through the field. If you've got to go ahead and dig that treasure, you're going to have to go through maybe a few rocks and maybe a few weeds and different things and so forth if you're going to have a good friend. Hey, let me say, we're all human. We all have fields. We all have negatives. We all have weeds in our life. We all, maybe a few skeletons, maybe some poison ivy, if you will, maybe a few lizards crawling around, whatever the case may be. Maybe we all sometimes aren't always going to be on top side or always have the best of attitude. And by the way, I'm not saying we shouldn't. We're Christians. We ought to have a spring in our step. But what happens when we do have a bad day? You know, he's my best friend, and all of a sudden, you know, he's not very happy. He went ahead and sniffed at me. I'm not going to be his friend anymore. I'm going to go ahead and turn on him. You know, we were so good, but he went ahead and snipped at me, or he didn't pay attention to me. And so you want to go ahead and give him up for that? You know, did it ever occur to you that he is human, and you may have to go, if your friendship's going to go ahead and build, you're going to have to go ahead and dodge a few rocks. You're going to have to go ahead and go through a few weeds, if you will. We're all human. We all have fields. We ought not be so hard on somebody because they have a few negatives. And by the way, just don't pray they don't get too close to you, because they'll see the same in you as well. Another treasure, you find a church. What a treasure a church is. It may have been that this church had reached you. It may have been a soul winner from this church won you to Christ. It may have been that you remember the first time ever walking through the doors of the church and you saw the Spirit, you felt the Spirit and the joy in the people. You may have seen the altars filled with people at the invitation time, people crying, people getting right, some things right with God, people getting saved. You saw some teenagers grow in the Lord and surrender to full-time Christian service like we have some here tonight. You see little boys and girls all dressed up and so happy when Junior shows up on a Sunday morning and excited, if you will. And now you see the happy faces. You see the smile on the children's faces. You see you have a part in a ministry and you led a child to Christ in Sunday school. Maybe you are a teacher, a nursery worker, a choir member, or a bus worker, and God has gone ahead and given you a ministry in that church. You feel the joy of serving God, reaching people, and having a part in the work of God. You've heard the testimonies of people going out soul winning, the people being saved out soul winning on Saturdays and on Tuesdays. You've seen that. You see people get baptized regularly. You see all the activity. You see the joyous spirit. You see families growing closer because of the preaching of the Word of God. and living for God. You've grown yourself in your spiritual walk because the church and your involvement in your walk with God. You seen the choir sing, the children sing, and the Lord moved in your heart. And you say, this was what I was looking for. But hold it. Time out. Hold it. Hold it. Let me just warn you something. Don't get too close. Before you get too close, I'm just going to warn you. I've got a little bit of news for you. We have a field here too. You see, we have a few weeds around here too. We are human just like anybody else. The truth of the matter is, and I wish he'd do it, Jesus could walk through them doors and he could pastor this church and do a whole lot better job than I. But you know what? This is who he chose. We have a few weeds. You find out the bus workers are human. You find out that the Sunday school teachers are human. You find out that the choir members are human. You find out that the junior church workers and leaders are human. You find out that the teenagers, they're definitely human. I love you, teens. And yes, you find out your preacher's human. You see some weeds. You see some negatives. I'm warning you now. One time you looked at the souls that were being saved around here positively, and that excited you. One time you saw the teenagers' excitement to serve God positively, and that excited you. One time you were excited about the preaching, and you were excited about the things that were going on. You know, the Spirit of the Lord brought you here. You said, hey, this is God's will. Yeah, but you saw that we had a few weeds, and we were imperfect after a while. So what do? You turn away. You barely sit there through the service and you're wondering when's this going to go ahead and get over, wishing that you were maybe doing something else, watching a football game or elsewhere, or whatever the case may be. One time the children's excitement excited you. One time the family's growing in the Lord and being reached, that excited you. One time preaching excited you, but something happened. Something happened, didn't it? No longer does the choir songs touch your heart anymore. No longer does the preacher getting up and preaching, thus saith the Lord, excite you anymore. No longer does the soul being saved perhaps excite you more. Something happened because you saw a mouse in the field. You saw a dead tree. Maybe that dead tree, go look in the mirror, maybe it's you. Amen. You saw a pile of garbage with a rat eating from it. Someone maybe failed to shake your hand. Hey, did you go shake somebody's hand? Amen. You know, it's not that hard. You know, well, I'm not going to go back to that church anymore. I've been there for years, but nobody shook my hand. Did you move out of your seat to go shake somebody's hand? You know what? Your hand would have been shaken if you went and shook somebody's hand. The preacher preached that sermon right to me. No, God did. Amen. You know, people think, well, the preacher goes around. You know, you think we have time to go around with our little notebook and see all the sins of all the world. Don't get me wrong. I have a life. Okay, I don't have time to go around, and I'm not searching for your baggage. You know, and if you sit there in a preaching service, well, the preacher went in and preached that to me. The preacher did that and do whatever the case may be. No. It might be that God's trying to ring your bell, get your attention. Amen. You know, the preacher preached that. I'm not getting fed. You did it one time. What happened? You don't come expecting anything anymore? But now all of a sudden you stopped getting fed. Why? You're probably not opening your heart to the Word of God. That's probably what it is. Could sin have entered in and caused you to stop getting fed? That's generally what it is. That's generally what it is. You know, when I was working back in Maine, Calvary Baptist Church, we had a church of about 300. And I went by a family, a man that was all kind of bent out of shape because he says, Pastor Reese, I just don't feel like I'm getting fed at Calvary. I said, how is it that you're not getting fed, but 299 others are? They're excited. They're serving the Lord. They're shouting amen in the church service. They're excited. You know, how is it that you know what? Probably it might be because there's a little bit of baggage there that's keeping you from growing. There's some things that you're not willing to let go of. Generally, they're the ones that eventually become a little bit critical, and you won't see them at the altar. I'm just about perfect. I'm above the altar. Really? Really? Hey, you know, maybe it's some things in your life that's keeping you from being fed. You come to church, you found a field, didn't you? You found out the bus worker has a field. You found out the Sunday school teacher has a field. The church worker has a field. Junior church worker. The youth leader has a field. Yes. The preacher has a field. So what do you turn a deaf ear? You find yourself, eventually you'll find yourself being a little bit critical of the church. You know, that church that had a part in reaching you. Maybe you start giving ear to other critics, trusting in their words. And there's really no peace in your heart tonight, is there? Kind of sitting there, no smile, no excitement, no zeal. It was there once. Hey, my friend, where is it tonight? You've turned a deaf ear. And all the while you get critical. You know what? It's not just affecting you. It's affecting your family, by the way. You go and you find another church, and let me give you a bit of advice when you do that. Okay? You go find another church. Let me just give you, number one, don't get involved. Okay? Number two, don't get too close to anyone. And number three, don't talk to anybody. Okay? Because guess what you're going to find? Eventually you're going to find they have a field too. They have a field too. All of a sudden, it's not God's will anymore to be here, be in the church or whatever. You know, a great preacher once said, Dr. Tom Malone, wow, what a preacher he was. You'll never find a perfect church. If you do find a perfect church, you may as well get out of it because it won't be perfect anymore. It's true. Why? We all have weeds. We're all imperfect. But what a joy, you know, what a joy it is. What a joy it is that God still wants to use us. I am flabbergasted. Is that a word? I am flabbergasted to know that God wants to use this preacher. Me. Someone with a feel. You know, I am excited about that. Thank God that he wants to use a bunch of fields to get his work done. Thank God for that. Hey, bus worker, you rode a bus today. Thank God that he used you today. Bus captain, you rode a bus. Sunday school teacher, you taught a class. Thank God that God used you today. Hey, thank God he gets use a bunch of fields to get his work done. You're going to find here some weeds. And I happen to think that, even though we have some weeds and maybe a few rocks, we have to kick them out of the way. We've got to throw them out by the wayside every once in a while. We have a great church filled with great people who have a desire to serve a great God. And boy, what a privilege it is of mine to pastor you. Yeah, around here you're going to see some rocks, you're going to see some blemishes, but do not throw out the fact that lives are being changed, souls are being won, the work of Christ is getting done little, shore by shore, little by little. And the treasure, of course, is a church and a pastor who cares. The treasure are souls and lives being changed. But to get to that treasure, you're going to have to put up with a field. You're going to have to put up with a field. I want to be great. When we get to heaven, there'll be no more fields. Have our perfect body. Amen. You know, I'll be a muscle man. You know what I mean? You know, but won't it be great? You know, this side of heaven, it's imperfect. There's going to be a lot of fields that we're going to have to go through. But to go ahead and get to the treasure, you've got to go through the field. Hey, you find a man or a lady back yonder, what a treasure. You start courting each other. You are so happy. You are just overjoyed. You're smiling and grinning from ear to ear. He would spend all that he had on you, literally. He'd send you flowers. He'd send you candy, buy your favorite candy, go to your favorite places to eat. After all, he was your man, wasn't he? He was your man. Don't you mess with my man. He would send him love notes. Today it's texting. Honey, don't bother. Okay, I'll never understand it. I'll never, never. You say you're too old for that. That's okay. That's okay. You want to, let me just say this. You want to get a hold of the preacher, call me. People text me expecting me to text back, and 3 minutes later, you know, and I try it. Okay, two words, 3 minutes later. Not. Sorry. But you'd send him love notes, wouldn't you? Back in the day. You'd pour on the prettiest perfume. You'd put on the prettiest clothes. There'd be no wrinkles in them clothes. Your makeup is on just right. Your eyeliner. Your blush. You didn't think, hey, preacher, I didn't think you'd know all that. I got two teenage daughters and a wife. I better. But everything was just perfect. Or it seemed to. You guys, you dress your best for them big dates back in the day. You'd comb your hair for once. Amen. You'd get showered up. You'd put on the cologne. You'd be all decked out. You'd bring the flowers. You'd plan the date. You'd go to eat wherever she wanted to eat. After all, it didn't matter if it was McDonald's because you were together, right? You'd court for a time, you'd both fall in love. Everything was just right. You proposed to her. Darling, will you marry me? Yes. After about a week of marriage, she says, what did I do? But you plan the wedding, get all your relatives, get the preacher, get everything going. After all, you young lady, you are marrying the perfect man. He is my knight in shining armor. He is Mr. Wonderful. He's so caring, so loving all the time. He's so thoughtful all the time. You young man, all of a sudden, boy, you married the perfect gal. Oh, she is so pretty. She is so beautiful. You remember the wedding day when you stood down here, you were shaken. You know what I'm talking about. And she goes around, comes around the corner down. And she just swept you off your feet. You go on the honeymoon, and the first morning you look at each other and you look and say, what happened to you? Looks like her hair, looks like she may have stuck her finger in a light socket, huh? You too, man. The breath, we won't even go there. Amen, you know what I'm talking about. After all, you know, it's only the first night. We can offer a little bit of grace, but this won't happen the next night. Time goes by, the next night, same thing. Hair the same in the morning. Breath is the same. You didn't expect that, did you? Well, man, why all the time I saw her before, she was all decked out. Her hair was just right. Her eyeliner was just right. Everything was just right. You say good morning to her, and all she does, huh. Or vice versa. That knight in shining armor, lady, that you thought he's Mr. Wonderful, doesn't even pick up after himself. Doesn't even help make the bed. He's grumpy in the morning. He left his socks in the living room again. He's stubborn. You may have found out, man, that always she's not always made up like she was before. She may do something that is a pet peeve to you and you don't like it. You thought, it's amazing. What we thought, you thought that she would cook, clean, take care of all the kids, and do everything, and her hair would always be in line, wouldn't it? And what happened? You saw your spouse has a field. You found some rocks along the way. You found maybe a little attitude from time to time, maybe a little stubbornness. Found a few creepy crawly things. It's not going across your counter either. You get to the treasure, but to get to the treasure, you got to put up with the field. And by the way, marriage is a treasure. Marriage is a wonderful treasure. Wonderful gift given by God. By the way, a key to happy marriage, though, let me just say this, is, you know, just, you know, it'd be good if we just go ahead and do what we did to capture their heart in marriage. You know, take time and write a note to your husband or to your wife. Have a weekly date. Send her things or whatever. Buy her some flowers. Buy her some jewelry. You say, well, I can't afford all that, preacher. You know, then just take a little, you know what? All your courting, what did it use? Time. Should take a little bit of time with her or him. Spend time. Look past the field and see the treasure in your spouse. You know, if you'd go ahead and do that, it'd solve a whole lot of problems in your marriage. You know, divorce wouldn't look so, oh yeah, well, she did this, he did this, I'm done. You know, divorce wouldn't be so easy to attain if we just go ahead and look past the field and see the treasure. Most of us, all of us, I think, as far as I know, you've got a wonderful spouse. He goes to work, he provides for you. Wife, boy, you ought to thank him. You know, if he's not sitting back lazy and sitting back on the chair all day, just vegging out and so forth, and he gets up and he goes to work every morning, boy, you know, that's a gem. That's a treasure, by the way. Wife, you ought to go ahead and thank him. She cooks and cleans and cares for your children. Husband, you ought to go ahead and thank her. Praise God for a husband who is, yes, imperfect, but he goes ahead and he provides for you, and he's a man that walks with God. You know what? Most gals want that. Boy, any gal today, you know what? When they see the harmony and peace in a Christian marriage, you know what? They become very thankful that they know they have a man that walks with God. Praise God, husband, if you have a wife that is, yes, imperfect, but she has a sweet devotion to her Lord, and she loves you. Hey, you know what? You got to look past the field to get to the treasure in your spouse. You know, churches all over America do this. Number four, another treasure. They choose a leader. This church did a year ago. Pastor comes in, takes over the church. He was exactly what you're looking for. He's a treasure. After a while, you find out your pastor has a field. He's a human being. He makes a few mistakes, but he has a sincere heart. You will find that his desire is to always do what is just and right. You find that he loves his people. You find that he works hard. You find his integrity. But along the way, you feel maybe he was unjust about a choice that he made. Along the way, you feel like that he made a decision with which you disagree. But praise the Lord, you know, he preaches the old black book. Praise the Lord that he preaches it without wavering. Praise the Lord that he goes out soul winning. Praise the Lord that he lives a decent life. Praise the Lord that he's an honest man. Praise the Lord that he loves the Lord and the people that he allows to serve. He's a man of character. He's a man of integrity. He's someone that you'd like to have your children follow. But you've got to go ahead and to see the treasure. You've got to go through the field. I've seen churches many a time. I've seen it just in my stint of 10, 11 years of full-time Christian service. Churches that will go ahead and choose a leader, and all of a sudden, within a few months, they see a field. I didn't expect that. So what do? They push him out, if you will. They cause him to resign. You know what? Hey, listen, you know what? Your pastor, and it's hard for me to preach this particular point, but your pastor ought to be a treasure. Don't you pull your family out of church or away from him because he has a field. It amazes me you were willing to look past the imperfections and the negatives when you first voted him in. A lot of churches do this, by the way. A lot of churches. I've seen it. Oh, I can tell you stories. Good churches that were once soul winning, once thriving in different things, and all the while when they couldn't agree with a man, they thought, yeah, he is Mr. Perfect, he is Mr. Wonderful, everything is wonderful, but he makes a bad choice. Maybe he preaches a sermon that just, well, the Holy Spirit, by the way, did something in your heart that just isn't right. And you all get all upset and whatever. It's amazing that when he first came, you looked past that imperfection because you thought he was exactly what you needed. All of a sudden, that pastor's not God's will anymore. God gets blamed. You know, God gets blamed for a lot of things. That doesn't even pertain to him. When we don't see things quite go the way we want it, we start, well, God, this is your fault. This isn't right. So what do? You pull your family out of church, and you never find a church, and you never find a church, and you never find a church that will love you and love your children more than he does. And as a result, and let me tell you something, I'm thinking of scenarios right now. Your family falls, your kids go to the world, and you never serve God. Be careful with the choices that you make, church. Let me just say this. By the way, I'm going to confess. By the way, I'm going to be the first to admit I have a field. Just to let you know. I want to get it out there now. Okay? Just to let you know. 10 months into this thing, I figured I better, you know, maybe on that first day I should have gone ahead and told you. But man, it slipped my mind. I'm sorry. But I'm just letting you know. I have a field. Might be a few weeds. Maybe a couple rocks. Maybe sometime I may not respond quite the right way. I'm just letting you know. I'm warning you now. And I have a field. I've got a few rocks. I've got a few creepy, crawly things. No snakes, though. I hate snakes. But maybe some of you found it. Yeah, Pastor, I know you have a field. And the reason why thriving, the reason why you're sticking with it, because you offer grace. You offer grace. By the way, I do too. Amen. But let me just say this, even though I have a field, I mean this with all my heart. I promise you, you will never find a preacher who loves you and your family any more than I do. You'll find preachers that will preach better than I. You'll find preachers that are more eloquent than I, but I promise you this, church, you'll never find a preacher that loves you and your teenagers and your children any more than I do. But I have a field. You better be careful. I know churches, I've seen them. All the while that they're going through pastor after pastor after pastor in the same church, souls are dying going to hell. Because they find that the pastor that they've hired three or four in a year, My preacher said when I was candidating different things, he says, be careful of them churches who's had at least three pastors in the last year. I was very careful. You know, and there was a few that called me, and I said, yeah, thank you for the invite, but no thanks. Generally, there's some problems there. And I want to say this. I think it's a good testimony of our church. You know, I praise the Lord that I walked in and this church is stable. You know, let me tell you something. From the very beginning, that is testimony from the very beginning. This church has been taught well, anyways. Praise God for that. Through the years, praise God for, you know. And let me just say this: praise God for the pastors that have served this church. Amen. Had it not been for a man and a Pastor Brian Mitchell that had a heart to come back to his hometown area and start a church, we wouldn't be here tonight. And had it not been for a Keith Feemister who took over, stepped in, and kept some stability, if you will, whatever the case may be, you know, you ought to thank God. Praise the Lord. You know, we have been so blessed. And guess what? Those of you who have been here from day one, probably you've seen some fields in your preachers, haven't you? Probably you've seen some fields in the previous pastor. And some of you, don't say amen, you've definitely seen some fields in your preacher now. Hey, what are you going to do? Go ahead and leave because you see a few fields? That happens so often. You've got to be so careful not to become a church that's so like that. There's so many out there. You know, there's a few men in the Bible. I'll just refer to a few men and I'm going to be through. Moses was a great treasure. He had a field. He had a hot temper. Moses, greatest leader. Greatest leader in the world. I wouldn't have wanted his position. Millions? I don't think so. He had a temper. Noah was a great treasure. He had a field. Paul was a great treasure. He had a field. He took a Jewish vow one time when he shouldn't have done so. Peter was a great treasure. He had a field. He was very impetuous. But what am I going to do? Go ahead and give up on the example of Moses in the Bible simply because he had a temper? Moses, the meekest man in the earth and the greatest leader in history. Am I going to go ahead and throw him out? No way. Am I going to go ahead and throw Peter out because of his impetuousness, if you will, who had the power to preach at Pentecost and see 3,000 souls saved? I'm not going to go ahead and cast his example out. Am I going to go ahead and cast out a Noah who had enough faith to go ahead and build an ark when no one else have ever heard of rain? I'm not going to go ahead and give up on a Noah. You know, the list goes on in the Bible. It amazes me how people run from church to church to church to church, ministry to ministry, to try to find a treasure without a field. Guess what? You won't find one. It amazes me how people will run from spouse to spouse knowing that, hey, this time I'm going to get the perfect one. Guess what? There's going to be a field there as well. It amazes people go ahead and go from friend to friend thinking, I got the perfect friend! Until you see a few weeds pop up. They'll run from pastor to pastor, and when you go ahead and find out that he's got a field too. You know, teens, let me say this. You have a treasure in your mom and dad. We ought to thank God for your mom and dad, children, teenagers. But let me say this for your mom and dad in case they won't tell you they have a field. You say, yeah, preacher, I know that. I know they have a field. You know, you might find maybe a hot temper in one of them or both of them once in a while, simply maybe because of your behavior. You may find that they may have a bad day. You may find that when you go ahead and ask them if you can do this, they say, no. That's a dirty word to you young people, isn't it? Generally, you know, let me just say this. When someone says no, a mom and dad says no, it's because they see the harm and danger in that activity. Listen to them and obey them and stop rebelling. They see a problem with that friend maybe that you hang with. That's why they say no. They see a problem with that activity. They see how that activity may not line up with the principles of the Word of God. That's why they say no, teenager and child. Your parents have a field too, teens. They have their flaws. But who provides for you? Who cooks your meals? If you had to rely on you cooking your meals each and every day, you'd be wasting away to nothing. No, I wouldn't. No, preacher. I'd be eating Fruit Loops. Who's going to buy the $5 box of Fruit Loops? Mama cooks for you. She washes your clothes. She takes care of you. Dad gets up early in the morning, goes off to work, provides a roof over your head, provides the clothes on your back, gives you the food to eat. Yet when they say no, that's not fair. I can't stand my mom and dad. Don't you ever come to me and say, I can't stand my mom and daddy. Don't you ever do it. Just a fair warning. But they have fields there, kids. But you love them and you don't rebel against your mom and dad. You obey your mom and dad. You know, I wonder tonight, maybe there's someone you're thinking of. You've fallen out with them. You've had a falling out. Did you realize, or you did not realize that there's a treasure there, but you had to go through a field, didn't you, to get it? And you chose to look at the field and the negatives instead of the treasure that's there in that individual. Why don't you tonight get it right? Maybe there's an individual in this church. You could have had a falling out. Maybe you come in here, and I don't know of any situation like this, but you sit in separate corners and you try to dodge. Maybe before the last amen, you're out of here. I don't know. You had a falling out. Why don't you later on at the invitation time, you go to that individual and say, let's go to the altar and pray together. Because your relationship means too much to me, and I know there's a treasure there. I've been criticizing you, and I want to get it right. You know, by the way, you never criticize anybody with whom you didn't get close to first. You know, maybe there's somebody in this church tonight you've been kind of flapping your tongue about. You know it's not right. Maybe you and him or both of you or whatever the case may be, whoever it is, you need to go ahead and get it right. You saw a mouse in their field. You saw the weeds. You saw the attitude. Why don't you go to that person and say, boy, you know what? Your friendship means so much to me. And you know what? I'm willing to go ahead and look past the field to get to the treasure if you're willing to go ahead and look past my field and get to the treasure. Husband, wife, isn't it enough to, haven't you had enough of the yelling and the criticism of each other? The pointing out the mistakes? Haven't you had enough of that? Why don't you reunite this evening and say, you know what, honey, I saw a treasure in you before. But lately, all I've done is I've looked at the field. And I don't want that anymore. I want the peace and the harmony in my marriage. Maybe if you're having a few marriage troubles tonight, instead of going the easy way of divorce today and separation and yelling and crying and criticizing and the kids seeing that, why don't you do the right thing and take her by the hand later on and walk down the aisle and say, honey, sweetheart, you mean so much to me. And I'm sorry. Get it right with them. Now I want to tell you of one more great joy and one more great treasure this evening. It's about one that has no field. He has no blemishes. He's without spot. He has no unkind words to say. He has no mice in his field. He's got no pile of garbage piling up. He's got no rats from eating from the garbage. He's got no rocks or any timbers or any dead trees there. Let me tell you about the one who, when you dig, all you find is treasure. He's preserved his holy word, the words of God in the Bible. When you dig, all you find is treasure. Let me tell you about that friend of mine, and that's our Savior Jesus Christ. I'm not going to point you to a preacher. I'm not going to point you to a rabbi or a priest or the Pope or an evangelist or any individual. We all have negatives. We all have fields. But you know what? I'll always point you, church, to Jesus. Faultless, no blemish, unconditional love. He died on the cross. He paid for your sin debt. And maybe you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus is your Savior. He'll save you. That one who has no fields, he has no blemishes. He's the only one that could die on the cross for our sins. You know, if you're unsaved this evening, he'll save you. Hey, don't give up the treasure of a church. Don't give up the treasure of a marriage. Don't give up the treasure of a pastor. Hey, look past the field and see the treasure. After all, Jesus did. He looked past your field, my friend. He hung on that cross. He saw you and he saw me and he saw that field. But he cries out, my God, or my Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. What was he saying? I'll look past the field of your life because I know there's treasure in you. That's what he did. In our text, there was a man who found a treasure in a field. He thought there's going to be more treasure, so what's he do? He goes out, he sells all that he has. to get to that treasure. He thinks there's more there. But I don't know if he expected this or not. He didn't maybe expect the mice and the rats and all the negatives that go along with that. What does he do? Does he turn away? Or does he say, I'm going to look past the negatives. I'm going to get to the treasure. You want a sweet friend relationship, you're always going to have to look past the negative to get to the treasure. You want a sweet marriage, the kind of marriage God wants you to have, you're going to have to look past the field to get to the treasure. You want to have a good friendship. All your relationships right on down. You know what? Because we're human, we all have creepy, crawly things. You're going to have to look past that because there's treasure. You know, if we would go ahead and do that, you know, we could actually go to work with a little bit of joy. You know, instead of, oh, my boss, everything, you know, look past that negative and see the positive. Hey, you know what? Your whole relationships could go ahead and change if you just go ahead and look past. Jesus did with you, by the way. He did with you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He saw me when he was hanging on that cross. I had a field of sin. But thank God he shed every drop of his blood. When he cleansed me as white as snow. Yeah, he saw the field. He says, you know, Sean, it's a treasure. You're a treasure. I wouldn't be hanging on this cross if I didn't think you were a treasure to me. Our Heavenly Father, I told my people tonight it'd be a very practical and very simple message, and it was. I think it was needed for such a time as this.